Hello and welcome to a TMCNet podcast. My name is Rich Trani. I am the president and the group editor-in-chief of TMC and also TMCNet. We've got the pleasure today to be interviewing David Mandelstam, who is the founder, president, and CEO of Sangoma Technology. And we are currently in the month of May, the 2nd of May, 2008, for those that are keeping score at home. David, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Rich. Always a pleasure.
Likewise. I always learn a lot whenever I speak with you, and I'm excited about this podcast. This might be our first podcast. Is that true?
I think we've done one before.
We might have. Okay. So yeah. My memory is not as good as it used to be. I'm getting into my 40s here, and, you know, it's all downhill, they say, from 40. So.
Yes, that's true.
So I wanted to talk with you a bit about what's happening with your open source initiatives and the business in general. What's the latest?
Well, business is great. Business has never been better, but it's always never been better because it's a long time since we've had a quarter which was not a record, but at least in terms of sales. Sometimes our profits go up and down, but our sales continue to grow at a very steady pace, and our profits are also generally heading in the right direction. The open source community continues to be a wonderful place to invest and a wonderful place to provide support and to reap rewards from. It's just a great community of people, and we think that we're reaping the benefits of partially of the growth in the market itself, and partially in improving our share of that market.
That's fantastic. So, in terms of parts of the world that are doing better than others, are there?
In general, from what we see, the offshore non-North American market is growing faster than the U.S. market, but that's just as far as our sales are concerned. It's a slow but definite trend that we are selling more outside of North America than we are selling in North America. And that's kind of interesting because North America is where it all started, of course, and it's such a large, homogeneous market. You know, everybody speaks the same language, and shipping is easy, and generally selling in North America is a much easier proposition. And yet, we see that our sales outside of North America continue to grow faster than our sales in North America, which is interesting.
Well, that's not unusual. I'm hearing more and more of that, actually, just that overseas growth is greater. And do you think the reason for that is just better economic conditions in other parts of the world, or a willingness to experiment with open source, or to use open source as opposed to other solutions?
I think that there is a culture in many countries of using open source. There are many organizations and even some governments that have specified use of only open source. And so I think there's an openness there that has developed over the years, which is perhaps a little different from the way that people see things in North America. That being said, there's no question that it's also a price-related thing. In many countries, costs are very important, and open source does provide a very inexpensive way to get quality, really world-quality products for nothing, in comparison to paying tens of thousands of dollars for it. So I think it's a combination of those two things which is driving the growth in many of the sort of semi-third world countries. In Europe itself, which is much more, which is obviously very prosperous and getting more prosperous all the time, particularly as the euro goes up, the costs of our products at least keep on going down. It's a different ethos. It's simply that they like open source. Open source is just simply cool, and we're the beneficiaries.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, South America and Asia, is there one area growing faster than the other, or is it just in general they're all doing very well?
you know, it tends to be a little bit bumpy, so you can't really tell, except on a long-term basis, which area is better than, you know, if you segment too much, you end up with very bumpy segments, and it's very hard to judge trends. But in general, Africa is doing very well in Southern Africa. Asia, I mean, our biggest single customer is in the Philippines. By far, the biggest single customer is in the Philippines.
That's a call center, maybe? And I mean, I don't want you to divulge information you can't, but...
No, it's a non-voice application. You know, we do data as well as voice.
Right.
In a particular situation, it's a company that's built their internet infrastructure on E1, and the E1 is all carried over our cards.
Oh, wow.
So whenever they install new smart networks, which is the largest telecom in the Philippines, whenever they install new internet connections, we get to sell a few more cards. So in that way, that's particularly lumpy. I mean, when they place an order, we have a good quarter. And when they don't have a place an order, we have a less good quarter. They really affect our revenues quite significantly. So Asia's great, Africa's great, everywhere's great. I don't think there's any place where we've seen a decline.
Well, that's really good news. Wow. And so, and you're not only in the open source space, but you're playing more and more in unified communications, and I'd love to hear how that initiative's going.
Well, we're just starting in that space. We are looking to see whether we can support some of the unified communications initiatives. We're looking to see how we can help customers with building blocks for building IVR systems and call center systems and PBX systems and call recording systems in non-open source environments, because many people are more comfortable in traditional paid supported software model. It's just a culture.
And how are you seeing that market in terms of just evolution?
Well, we are still doing a lot of the development work, so we really haven't put our toes into the market very much. I mean, we've had a few small successes, nothing which really is affecting our revenues in any significant way yet. But it's our belief, at least it's our faith, that market is probably a larger market than the open source market, simply because that's the general the way that these markets work in other things which are not telephony based. Most people buy proprietary things. It's just the way that things work. So it's very exciting. It's a new initiative for us. Very different kinds of customers, very different standards of documentation and support and packaging and so on, when people are paying for things rather than getting them as open source projects supported by the community.
Well, it's great. It's very exciting. And so do you have to add a lot of people to deal with this new business?
Yes, we're always looking for new people. We're always looking for new space. Every time we add new space and furnish it and paint it, we're already out of space again. It's one of the perils of growing fast. It's a nice problem to have, actually. I've had the other kinds of problems, and I prefer this one.
I agree with you 100%. That is a great problem to have. So that's good news.
You must have the same sort of situation in your business.
We are bursting out of our office, and we are looking for a brand new office space right now. We happen to own our building, which adds a level of complexity that I would prefer not to have. But
oh wow,
we're certainly looking to soon get this business or this building to a realtor, and yeah, we're looking feverishly. Thankfully, we also have been hiring a lot of people that are not in the office, and that allows us some ability to grow quickly without the need to take up cubes and desks and offices, etc.
Yes, the VoIP and unified communications revolution really does help in that area, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting that I was recently having a conversation with some of the larger equipment providers in the data networking space, and they were telling me that the CIOs they talk to are asking for unified communications and mobile unified communications because their workers can no longer afford to pay for gas, and they just need to work from home.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that interesting?
It may well be I mean, if that's a trend, it could well be a much bigger part of the solution, say, than this biodiesel stuff.
It seems like it is. It seems like communications technologies, and when you start to look to telepresence and you start to look to collaboration and you look to unified communications, all of these technologies combined are very green. I mean, I hate to be cliche, but they are very green, and they are helping companies accomplish things such as lower the amount of gas that's used. And all of the talk of telecommuting over the past 20 years, 30 years might have been premature because the technology just wasn't there. But now the technology exists and the gas prices are rising. It seems that when the personal pocketbook is affected, that's when these changes will take place. And you know, I hear stories of people paying $20, $30 a day in gas just to get to work. I mean, that obviously adds up.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's no greener thing than actually just not turning your car on. You know, you can have a hybrid, you can use biodiesel, you can do whatever it is that you like, but the act of not actually turning on the key in the morning has much more effect than anything else. And it's all related to the kinds of technologies that we're in, Rich. I mean, we're responsible for all this stuff, you and I.
Yeah, it's extremely exciting. I mean, I would probably not be responsible if I didn't say that at least some of the technologies that we do produce as an industry obviously take up power, and they do contribute to global warming and other problems. But even I'm noticing the vendors that are producing these products have unbelievable initiatives to reduce power consumption in their products and also to stop using the same sorts of dangerous byproducts or dangerous chemicals in the manufacturing process, removing lead and other things that are just bad for the environment. So I think the tech space and the communication space deserves a lot of credit for, like you said, allowing the world to go green, and at the same time we're all cleaning up our act and trying to use less power and also to come up with more earth-friendly products.
Yes, that's certainly true. One doesn't think of the telecommunications as a green industry, but really there's none greener. I don't think there's anything greener.
Yeah, well, I agree with you right now. I mean, in terms of the way that we're changing the world and we're reducing the amount of people that need to travel back and forth, it's absolutely true for a good percentage of the workforce. Now, unfortunately, I think in manufacturing and other sectors where people just have to drive to work because they have to physically be there, we won't be able to make as much of an impact. But certainly for knowledge workers and for desk workers, we're heading into an era where you can do just as well from home as you can in the office, it seems. So,
yes.
Exciting. Exciting times.
Pretty exciting. And it actually works really well. I mean, it seems to be a good, viable model. And, you know, there don't seem to be any real downsides to it. So as the stuff grows, I expect that TMC will continue to prosper, and so will we. We're heading into a recession. There doesn't seem to be much doubt about that. But I don't know.
Are we in it, or are we heading? Or I guess every day I watch the news shows, and I don't get an answer.
Well, if we're not in it, we're going into it. So, but we haven't personally seen any sign of it in a drop off in orders or in anything, perhaps except for, I would say, more self-inflicted wounds where we've tightened up credit, which has had an effect. But where, you know, from external factors, we just haven't seen that. And I find that kind of interesting, because so much of traditional manufacturing and the rest of the industries are really, really, really starting to suffer. Everything from food to autos to clothing to Starbucks is starting to see some effects of the recession. And as far as I know, there isn't one as far as the telecommunication industry is concerned, or at least the VoIP part of it.
I tend to agree. For the most part, I've noticed that except for a couple exceptions, there has been better than expected earnings and growth year over year. And so it seems like the sectors that we play in are doing well. And I was hoping that would be the case, even if we went into a major slowdown in the economy, because telecom, as you remember, in 2001, 2, and 3, we had a major, major recession, depression, you might even say, where people didn't even buy a lot of telecom equipment for 3 years. So it seems that we've gone through a time where there was such a dearth of spending that there was no time for excess to be built up in budgets and, you know, room to slash. So there, when you don't have much room to slash, it's very difficult to reduce the sales of an industry, it seems.
Well, that's a very good point. Of course, that's one of the reasons why we are somewhat immune. Nobody has done any excess spending since 1999.
Exactly. Where there was, we might argue that there was an virtually unlimited amount of spending to solve a problem that seems like obviously wasn't as big as we thought. And those people that built underground bunkers and things like that can probably now dismantle them.
That's right. Yes. And I believe that in the 90s, fiber was laid that people predict will never be lit, because there's just so much of it. There's some of it that will never be lit, not ever. It's crazy.
Yes, and well, it seems now that we're going through a lot of that. So
we're going through some of it, but, you know, fiber isn't everything. There's a lot of iron involved, and the iron sales stopped in 2000, and they've kind of recovered, but as you say, there hasn't been any kind of excessive spending. So that's probably why we're doing well. I hadn't thought of that. That's a very good point.
Yeah, so as we were predicting where our business would grow or go this year, that was my personal belief. So, I mean, so far it seems to be on track. We don't know the extent of what's going to happen with the economy. We're going to be getting billions of dollars, it looks like, in incentive checks from our government to start, you know, to try to entice us all to go out and start spending. That could have some global ramifications and actually improve things quite a bit. Do you look at America from that standpoint, or do you look at that kind of thing from Canada in terms of what's happening here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, still, you know, very close to half our sales are generated in the United States. So anything that happens in the U.S. is very important to us, much more so than events in our own country, because our Canadian sales are relatively small. They're only around 10% of our total sales. So it's much more important to us what is going on in the U.S. than is going on in Canada as far as government initiatives and things are concerned. So, yes, I hope that the feds do spend some of your taxpayers' money.
hopefully some of that will end up back in the communication space, and I'm pretty sure that a fair number of iPhones will be bought because of that money. Now the question becomes, will that lead to more equipment purchases, more open source PBXs, more unified communications? It remains to be seen. I know as long as gas prices continue to increase, or at least stay at these levels, there's going to be incentives to get people to stay home, or people are just not going to want to come to work, and we're going to see an increase in unified communication spending and IP communication spending, which is fantastic.
Which is great. I mean, it's going to be good for everybody in this market. And, you know, a recession in some ways is quite good, because it gets people to nothing focuses their mind on price as much as a recession. And price is really where the open source community shines.
Agreed.
When I think of what I paid for my last PBX but one at this organization, and what we paid for our last PBX, which was an open source based PBX, and a commercial one at that, I mean, the difference is just laughable. And so in many ways, a situation where people are looking hard at cost is going to be good. So I don't know, we see things pretty rosy from where we look out on the vast expanse of the open source telephony world. It looks good. It looks like there are some very very well-run, energetic, well-marketed businesses that are growing out of this sort of plane of small players, and we tend to benefit from that because people like our card because they're reliable and they have good voice quality, and those are the sort of things that people who are running large businesses have to have. So we're a great benefit of any consolidation which happens in the open source the open source telephony community. We're a beneficiary, and we tend to try and push these things, and it's been working very well. And one of the things about a possible recession is that there'll be more of that sort of consolidation, and you'll get a bunch of winners and losers. And the winners hopefully will buy our products.
Yeah, let's hope so, and let's hope that the open source community and Unified Communications keep growing. And as always, it's been an enlightening time to spend with you here on the phone, and looking forward to many years of continued success for the industry. Thank you so much, David. You've been listening to David Mandelstam, who's the founder and president and CEO of Sangoma. And today again is May the 2nd, 2008. My name's Rich Tarani, and you're listening to a TMCNet podcast. David, any final parting words?
Not really. It was just great speaking to you as always, Rich. Always a pleasure. Always very interesting and enlightening.
Thanks, David. You have a wonderful weekend. Take care.
You too.